Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 14 on bottles and cups in child development. Now, I know I'm always asking you to send me emails with your feedback about the podcast or ask questions about child development. And you might be sitting there listening and thinking, I'm getting all kinds of emails. Well, I'm not, but that's why I keep asking. If you don't like sending emails for whatever reason, you can still help me get the word out about my show by subscribing to this podcast through your app, either the iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or whatever you use to listen to the show. After you subscribe, or if you've already subscribed, thank you. If you would click on the star reviews and leave your feedback there, it could help other people possibly find the show more easily. Thank you so much, and that's all I will say about that for today. Now, in the past few episodes, I have started to include a research study at the beginning of my discussion. I will try to do that in every show if possible for those of you who are interested in the science aspect of child development. The research study for today came out in the journal called Pediatrics in 2012. It is titled Injuries Associated with Bottles, Pacifiers, and Sippy Cups in the United States. This study was apparently the first of its kind to determine how children under 3 years of age were getting injured from bottles, pacifiers, and sippy cups. They collected data from a national electronic injury surveillance system from the years 1991 to 2010. And they looked at children under 3 years of age who were treated in emergency rooms. There were estimated about 45,398 kids under the age of three that were treated in emergency rooms for injuries related to these three products during this time frame. There were 65.8% of the injuries due to bottles, 19.9% from pacifiers, and 14.3% from sippy cups. And 86% of the injuries due to these three products were from kids falling while using them. The majority of the injuries were lacerations or cuts, and the mouth was the area of the body that was most frequently injured. The one-year-old kids were the ones who were injured the most, and most of the time, 57.5% was while they were using a bottle, and 33.8% when they were using a pacifier. The two-year-olds had more injuries with the sippy cup than the one-year-olds, which makes sense. Injuries due to malfunctions of the products was only about 4.4% of the time. According to this article, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend transitioning directly from a bottle to an open cup by 12 months of age to prevent possible dental issues. I have not been able to confirm this from either of their websites, however. I find this very interesting, though, because when I'm working with families on this transition from bottle or from nursing to a cup, people are always surprised when I say they can skip the sippy cup and go straight to an open cup or a cup with a straw. I guess that sippy cups have become so mainstream and it's so common to see little kids walking around with them that people have come to know this as the thing to do. Well, who invented the sippy cup? Have you ever thought about that? It was back in the late 1980s. Was it a dentist? A speech therapist, occupational therapist, a nurse? Nope. The answer is a mechanical engineer. Now, what does a mechanical engineer by trade know about oral motor skills? Well, as far as I can tell, that's not part of their educational curriculum. Apparently, the sippy cup was invented because the previous options leaked and spilled when kids would turn them upside down. Since kids were starting to walk around with their cups, this was a convenient alternative to them spilling their drinks all over the place. It just took some extra engineering to get the design right for the job. As a pediatric occupational therapist, the problem I have with this, well, there are many, so where do I begin? The first thing is that they do not encourage appropriate oral motor skills for kids. At this age, it is a key time for language development, learning to talk, and gaining more and more words, plus learning how to speak more clearly so other people can understand them. To do this requires learning new ways of holding their jaw and their tongue in different positions that allow them to make new sounds and say new words. This also affects their eating skills like chewing and swallowing safely. Learning to drink from an open cup or a cup with no lid helps to promote the appropriate oral motor skills for this age. They learn to keep their tongue back when taking drinks and swallowing. They also learn to tip their head up slightly when getting a drink. Whereas with sippy cups, they encourage the tipping their head all the way back and chugging. This is a position that is more similar to when they were drinking from a bottle and does not help with advancing their drinking and swallowing skills. All of these things are related and important for eating, drinking, and talking. Going back to bottle drinking for a minute, because I jumped right over that to sippy cups, I'm not surprised by the findings of the research study on injuries due to one-year-olds walking around with the bottles, because I work in a field where I'm around this age and I see it for myself. However, I don't know exactly how we got to this point, other than convenience for parents. If a baby is walking around, it is a good indicator to me that they can drink from a cup. Of course, all of this is assuming they have no other medical or developmental issues going on. If a child has specific orders or recommendations from a doctor, they should definitely follow those. I am talking about the kids who do not have medical concerns or those who have special needs or delayed in their developmental skills. However, I do work with kids who have delays and other special needs, and this is always the ultimate goal for them as well. I say always, but for the most part. We make the changes based on their individual needs and abilities, but I have never recommended a sippy cup over an open cup or straw cup. There is no developmental benefit to that, as I said before. Sorry, that was another slight tangent. Anyway, as far as bottles go, in an ideal world from a pediatric therapist standpoint, babies would go from a bottle or nursing to an open cup or straw cup. When they are on the bottle, they are only drinking formula or breast milk, unless, as I said, their doctor has made other recommendations based on their individual needs. Sometimes the recommendations that a doctor might make are putting either water or juice that is watered down in their bottle, especially if they are concerned with the baby becoming dehydrated or if they are constipated. However, generally speaking, this is not meant to be a long-term recommendation. It is usually meant to be for a short period of time until they get through whatever the issue might be. It is recommended that when a baby is drinking their bottle, they should be stationary, not crawling or wandering around, but sitting in one place and hopefully sitting with a parent or a family member. Feedings are a perfect time to encourage bonding and socialization with the little one, so take advantage of it while you can. This time period really doesn't last too long in the whole grand scheme of things. Not to mention the safety issue of a one-year-old just learning how to walk, holding a bottle, and trying to walk at the same time. They barely have their balance at this time for just standing in one place without holding on to things for support. Now imagine them tipping their head back and lifting their arms to drink from a bottle at the same time, or trying to drink like this while taking steps forward. No wonder this was the largest cause of injuries at this age. Any child that is developing at a typical rate for their age with all areas of development, they could start learning to drink from an open cup that someone holds for them as early as 6 months of age, more commonly usually around 7 or 8 or 9 months of age. Usually when they are consistently eating more baby foods or soft, solid table foods, this is a good time to start working on using the cup. The baby is ideally sitting in a high chair for their meals and while they're drinking from a cup. We live in a day and age where people are seriously concerned about staying hydrated, so it seems like a good thing if kids are walking around drinking throughout the day. But instead of having the cup literally in hand all day, you can make it available whenever they want it by placing it in a consistent location in the kitchen or in the refrigerator. Once kids are drinking from cups, they should get water in between meals, not juice or milk or pop or anything else. Again, depending on their doctor's recommendations, of course. Kids can easily be taught to go to the designated location and get the cup when they want a drink, then put it back down and continue off playing or doing whatever they were doing before. I'm definitely not against having kids having some independence with this, but independence doesn't mean they have free rein of it and can do whatever they want. It means within these parameters that the parents have set, we can choose to go there and get a drink whenever we want to. I promise they won't stand there all day and keep drinking just so they can have the cup. Kids are too busy to stay in one place too long. However, this does take some time and consistency on the parents' part to teach them where the cup goes, and probably reminders along the way that we don't carry the cup around. It stays right here, and you can come back and get a drink whenever you want. It'll be here when you get back. This will also help your child with self-awareness, so they aren't mindlessly drinking or snacking, for that matter, all day long. Another piece of this is that when they're drinking all day long, like they do when they carry their cups everywhere, they're often not very hungry when it comes time to eat meals. The drinks can tend to keep them not quite full, but also not quite hungry feeling either. Even if the drink is water, it can still fill up their tummy. This can interfere with their motivation to sit and eat meals with the family. For some reason, they just don't eat that much at one time, or they would prefer to just snack all day long. These are statements that I hear a lot from parents. One possible reason could be the carrying drinks around the house and taking sips all day long. So you might think, interesting theory, but how do we keep them from spilling their drinks if we're not using sippy cups? That is a great question, and I have several possible solutions for you. You can, for one, offer them a small child-sized cup with no lid and only place a small amount of water in the cup. Put it on a table or surface they can reach more easily in the kitchen so they can still come and get a drink when they choose to. And if it spills, not that much will spill because there isn't much to begin with. Now, with this option, you may find yourself refilling the cup more frequently than you would like. So you can either choose another option or possibly just tell your child the water is gone, so we'll get more later. Why don't you go and get some books or something else specific to play with to take their mind off of it? Option number two, teach them how to drink from a straw cup. Take and Toss brand makes a great cup with a lid and a straw, all separate pieces that can be easily washed. The cool thing about this cup is that you can gently squeeze the sides of it, and some of the liquid will come up through the straw. This makes teaching kids how to drink from the straw usually pretty easy because they can see it come up through the straw and come out the top. If they put their mouth on it and you squeeze it, they will get some of the drink, and a lot of times they start to figure out how to keep making it come up through the straw. This might take some practice, as with anything else, but is a fairly effective way of teaching them. Sometimes kids learn by when their parents take the straw and fill it up with liquid, but hold their finger on one end of it to keep it from falling out until the child opens their mouth and you let some come out and they get a drink that way, without using the cup. This is another option to get the idea of using the straw. One of the benefits of kids learning to drink from a straw is that when you go out to eat at places, you can always get a drink with a straw and usually a lid for kids too. Then if they don't have their cup with you, it doesn't matter because they can drink from any straw. Talk about convenience. In addition to all of that, it is a better oral motor skill than sippy cups. It encourages them to keep their head in a forward position so they don't fling their head back and guzzle drinks with the risk of choking from the extreme head and neck position. With their head upright and slightly forward, they learn how to use the muscles in and around their mouth and tongue for drinking. This can strengthen these muscles and help them become coordinated for not only safe swallowing, because their esophagus or throat is opened up to allow the liquid to go down correctly, but for talking and language development. A third option, there are cups called reflow cups, and you will find these on my website today with the link to see what they look like. They are an open cup that has a stopper down in the cup with small holes around the edges all around the cup. This allows the liquid to flow freely when it's tipped up, but it comes out more slowly than if there was nothing in there at all. Basically, it's like an open cup with a little more help slowing the liquid down. And it also makes the liquid come down into a smaller stream. I have links to all these in the show notes and, like I said, on my website for today. Thank you so much for listening today, and have a great weekend.